And as we come to your word, speak to us, that we'd both understand it and be moved. Open our eyes and our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from God's word. I'm going to read from Matthew 13. And I'm going to start reading at verse 24. So Matthew 13, starting at verse 24. He, that's Jesus, he put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while this man was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And then he comes back to this parable in verse 36. He tells a couple of other parables, but explains this parable in verse 36. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds and the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." And we're looking at those words of Jesus in Matthew 13. Now, harvest is a traditional thing. It's not a specifically churchy Christian thing. It's not a special day in the Bible as such, but the ideas about harvest are everywhere. So the festivals in the Old Testament were, although they're about salvation things, followed the harvest calendar. And most obvious about God has provided for us, and that's to give thanks to him and to share with others. And of course, that's where the harvest service has traditionally come in. And in this country, I guess churches that still do that from about now through to end of October. But the Bible uses harvest in other ways. So it's what life is like. What is your life like? Well, it's like a harvest. It has seasons. You have seasons of sorrow and joy. You have seasons to do with your age. Very different being 10, 20, 50, 80. Our life has seasons. Our life is like harvest that we benefit from hard work and patience. But also there's spiritual lessons the Bible talks about. So seasons about sowing and ploughing. You don't, you know, if you go into watch the farmers in the fields, they don't sow and plough at the same time. Obviously, there are different seasons to do things. And spiritually, that is so. There are seasons that are spiritually hard for the Christian, for the church. We're to be patient. The end of history and judgment is, we're told, is a harvest. That the we need workers in the field that are few to do a mission. And so we should be patient. It explains why things are delayed, why there are mixed responses. Harvest explains what we see. It says, you know what that is like. I was brought up in the countryside, so now most of my life has been in cities, though, and I always think it's strange that we still do harvest, because most of you don't know what it's like. But it explains what we see spiritually. And Matthew 13 is a whole chapter of parables, mostly harvest-based parables. And I'm just going to focus on one, the wheat and the weeds. Jesus tells a parable, and then he tells a couple more, and then he explains the parable. But the what we see in the chapter as a whole is about things like, for example, the sower and the soils, why they're mixed responses, but it ends up in a big harvest. The mustard seed starts very small. It's an unnoticeable change, looks insignificant, but ends up big and dominant. And so for us, the kingdom seems slow at best. Maybe our efforts are pointless, but Jesus is going somewhere with this. And similar in this parable. In fact, you could say of the parables, we don't read them. They read us. In a sense, I'm not explaining it. It's explaining you. And you might ask questions like things like, well, why do bad things happen to bad things? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why are things not the way they are? Well, God is going to sort them out. And this parable tells us that. But that requires a response from us. So the first thing Jesus does is he tells the parable in verses 24 to 30. So a quick summary of it is a man plants some good seed. He plants some wheat. And an enemy sneakily plants some bad seed, some weeds. And in the these Bibles that we've got, there's a footnote that says it's called darnel. Now, interestingly, I was reading it in the Greek text, it says zizania, which is a plant that, if you know about plants, you can ask Haddon about zizania. He probably knows about it. Another name for it, darnel, or false wheat. And apparently it looks, until it's very mature, it looks the same as wheat. It looks just the same as wheat, but it contains a fungi. And if you harvest it and make flour with it, it spoils your whole batch of flour. So that's what's happening. Apparently there were serious consequences under Roman law for doing this, for deliberately putting zizania in someone's wheat field. And also, it means you don't notice it until, you can't do anything about it, because once you notice, the roots have tangled in with the wheat. You can't do anything until harvest, and then you've got to separate them out, as in the story. So the servants say to the master, well, shall we rip them up then? And he says, no, you can't do that, because they're tangled now. At that stage, it's tangled. We have to leave it to harvest. So a very simple story. We have two things that look alike, but they're very different. And only at the end are they separated. Now, we don't have many children with us this morning, but I want you to help me with this. I've got some things for you to look at, and you can tell me what you see. So is anyone feeling brave to come up? Otherwise, I have to pick on Haddon or someone. Caleb, you're normally brave. Do you want to have a look at some things? Your brothers or sisters can help. Do you want to have a look, David? Yeah, come on, have a look. Right, so what I've got here is I've got a pot. Now, could you tell me what you think that is?
Flour.
Perfect. Now I've got something else in another pot. Flour, absolutely. And could you tell what that is? What's that, David?
Flour.
That's right. So two pots of flour. Do they look different?
No.
So one of these, I think it's... No. So this one, I think, is ordinary flour, and this one's self-raising flour. How would you tell them apart? No, exactly. You can't really, can you? Yeah, it's maybe a bit more crumbly, isn't it? But so you could tell when it's in the packet, obviously, and you can tell
out of the same packet.
They're not out of the same packet, and you could tell when you make your bread, because that would be very disappointing bread. So you can't. They look the same, but they're very different, and they'll look different at the end. Right, here's something else. Right, we've got here. Well, what do you think these are?
Tea bags.
Right, they're tea bags. Can you see any difference between the two tea bags? No, neither can I, and I don't know which one's which. You can tell the difference. That would be bad to give you one of these. One's caffeinated and one's decaffeinated. I don't know which is which. But I tell you what, you put one of these in your mummy and daddy, and you will know the difference, especially when they go to bed, and one of them will keep them awake, and one of them won't wake them up. So that you tell the difference at the end, but they look the same. So you've got things that look really similar. They're related, but they've got very different outcomes. Right, thank you for that, so you can sit down. So that's what Jesus is talking about with the wheat and the weeds, or this particular weed, zizania. They look the same, but they're really different. It's only at the end you can tell. So that's the story, simple enough. Jesus now explains the story in verses 36 to 43. Now, not every detail means something, but some of it does. And Jesus tells us which ones do. So the man who sows good seed, he says, is the Son of Man, which is another name for himself, for Jesus Christ. The field is the world, and the good seed are the kingdom people. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil, and the reapers are the angels. And then he says, as the weeds are burned up at the end of the parable, so the righteous and the unrighteous are separated at the end of time, and the unrighteous go to hell away from God, and those who belong to the kingdom go into eternally shining in the kingdom of the Father. So it's quite straightforward. That history is like harvest. There's good and evil carry on together until the last day. And those inside and outside of the kingdom live in the world together. They mingle together. They do life together until the last day, and they're separated eternally. So that's very straightforward, isn't it? So why do we need to know it? Well, Jesus says that the whole world is in two groups, the righteous and the unrighteous, the sons of the kingdom and the sons of the evil one. And he doesn't have a sort of third group or a middle group. But he says they look the same, like wheat and zizania, or wheat and weeds, some weeds, or different types of flour and different types of tea. They look the same, but the outcome at the end is different. What makes them different? Well, it turns out that it's not that one group is better than the other. To look at that, they're the same, but in a number of ways, they look the same. And a repeated thing that Jesus talks about, and you get across the whole Bible, is that all people have rebelled against God as king. They've rebelled against his kingdom. That we're all, in fact, unrighteous, naturally. We're all unrighteous and sons and daughters of the evil one. But Jesus Christ swaps places with us, and he takes the blame for our sin and dies for it, and he lived a perfect life and credits that to us. He rose from the dead and offers life to us. And so God the Father looks at us through him, and we can be forgiven. And we can be considered righteous, as if we've done nothing wrong. And God knows who those people are, but we don't. As far as we're concerned, if we were to look down Chelmsford High Street, people look much of a muchness. You can't tell by their height or something that whether they know Jesus or not. To some degree, by behaviour, you can't always tell. The two groups look alike, but it turns out they're very different, with very different outcomes. Just like you can't mix zizania and wheat, you can't mix the righteous and the unrighteous in eternity. They can now, but not then. And the last day, God separates them. But now there's a delay. So these two different groups live together. And like I said, with a very untrained eye, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. It's not obvious. But it means that both groups will just have to get on with life for now. And good and bad goes on in the world, as we see in the news. Sad things happen, people do horrible things, we wonder why bad people get away with it. But this parable reminds us, if it's not for Jesus, we would be no better. If you call yourself a Christian, you're no better than someone who is not. But Jesus makes all the difference. And this state is not going to go on forever, that Jesus will call time on it. Like the other parables, it tells us to be patient. Like the other parables, it looks like Jesus has made no difference, but in the end, he makes all the difference. It looks like it doesn't matter how we live, it doesn't matter what we believe, but one day it will matter. Nothing else will matter. It teaches us this, to think about what is urgent and what's important. So everything you do, every trivial decision, an important one that you make today and tomorrow, is going to be either on a range of urgent and important. Some things are important, other things are less so. Some things are urgent, other things are less so. But make sure you do the important, urgent things. I've got a meeting in London tomorrow, so I'd better be on the train at the right time. It's both important and urgent. But this is of ultimate importance, but would be easy to put off for tomorrow. But it is urgent because we don't know when Jesus calls time. So this life is an opportunity. Jesus is so patient, and this offer is held out to us. But at the end, after all these opportunities, at the end, when he returns, when we die, the second chances are over. And as he puts it, there are just two destinations. So in verse 42, he says, throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. It's one place, the other in verse 33. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, is that fair if these two groups are virtually the same? Well, yes, it is, because it's the kingdom of the Father. If you reject the king, if you don't want the king, you have no place in the kingdom. If you don't want what makes the kingdom, you won't be there. Nobody, in fact, in either of these two groups, we've said they look alike. Nobody deserves entrance to it. Only those who take this as a free offer, when they're invited to, as you are. So these two ends are very different. So as you drive about Essex and do your different things, and you drive past these fields and you see the fields, and you perhaps at this time of year see things being bundled up and moved around, remind yourself that there is another harvest. There's a time of harvest for a different crop, where you are the crop for the whole world. And there's two kinds of people, those who've made Jesus their king and those who don't. The sons of righteousness, the sons of the evil one, the righteous, the unrighteous. And there's two destinations, heaven and hell. And so there are two very obvious responses, aren't there? Because if this is true, not everything else is sort of second importance, isn't it? If this is true, it's worth working this out. And so the two things, two responses that any of us in the room could make. One is to scatter and the other is to decide. So this harvest image is speaking to us, that we as the church need to scatter to make sure people know about this, that we support works that scatter this seed. Now the harvest itself, the fruit, that's kind of God's problem. We just scatter, and there's a season for when it grows and bears fruit and is harvested. We don't worry ourselves with that. We just worry about the scattering. But the other side of that is for some people that is to decide. And I guess that thing that we all have is the biggest 6 inches between here and here, of sort of knowing about some facts and actually saying, no, actually, I am making a decision about Jesus that will affect everything else about my outlook, to decide about him before the final harvest comes and make sure that you're in the right bundle at the end. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your generosity to us, that you've given us all that we need. You've given us more than we need so that we can enjoy things that are just for our pleasure. And also you've given us enough to give to others. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ and the harvest that's to come. Please move our hearts that we'd want to scatter this seed to others. And if we've not done so already, that your Spirit would move our hearts to receive him as Lord, so that we would know you on that last day. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.